Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
It's a Wellness Wednesday. We're talking about the Erie Cancer Wellness Center, and with us is Sarah Humphrey. She is the executive director. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
How are you, Joel? I'm great.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
You got it. Kristen Hubert, she is the office communications and marketing coordinator. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hi, good. Thank you.
So glad that you're both here. You know, we're a family show. We like to get origin stories. Sarah, are you Erie born or are you transplant in?
So my parents were born and raised in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And then moved out to Chautauqua County when I was a young girl. So I grew up and was raised in Chautauqua County. And then from there, went to school in Cleveland, lived in Cleveland for many years, and then came back to Erie. So I'm very happy to be here.
That's fantastic. How about you, Kristen? Local or transplant?
Transplant, technically. I'm from an hour away in Cochranton.
Sure.
Hopped around a couple other places before landing here almost 10 years ago. But yeah, I've been up here since 2014.
Fantastic. Well, let's talk about the origin story of the Erie Cancer Wellness Center. There obviously had to be a felt need for you to start this project.
Sure. And there is. And we're really filling what I feel is a critical need in Erie County and the surrounding areas. So my background is nursing. And after I moved to Erie, I landed at the Regional Cancer Center. And it was there that I started a support program and what we call survivorship program for people who have been treated with cancer. And part of the support program that was already in place at the Regional Cancer Center included support groups for people living with cancer, for children. But then I expanded that into wellness programs as well. And we saw that there, we had a great response for it because cancer is so much more than the physical. So unfortunately, the Regional Cancer Center dissolved and UPMC and Allegheny Health Network built their own incredible cancer treatment centers, and they do a phenomenal job in cancer treatment. But what we saw was that there was a need for what we call non-medical support programs. And so we decided to fill that need.
Is the first thing that comes to mind is this something that that you can get help from your insurance company when you're going through cancer treatment? Is this billable hours through insurance?
So that's a great question. And what we offer is our non-billable services.
Okay.
So, you know, what we want everybody in the community to know is that everything we offer is at no cost.
Oh.
And it does not matter what type of insurance you have or lack thereof, or where you're treated. Everybody is welcome to our center.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's amazing and it's rare. And we feel it's very important to offer that. Cancer is an extremely expensive disease. So we need to be able to offer services and programs at no cost for people so they can heal mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
So Kristen, can you talk about how the Cancer Center is able to get support to offer these free services?
How we receive the support?
Yeah.
We are functioning solely off of donors, off of the good of donations that we receive. That's how everything is paid for.
That's
amazing. And I can expand upon that a little bit. So, you know, before we opened, we traveled to many different cancer wellness centers in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and Chicago, in Washington, D.C., just to see how these centers functioned. And across the board, the funding stream was the same, regardless of whether it was in a suburb or whether it was in a large city. And to Kristen's point, about 80% of the funding came from private donations and foundations. We expect to follow the same with about, hopefully, 15% from the local hospitals and then the rest in grants.
I mean, there is probably provable peer-reviewed evidence that shows the better the mental and behavioral health that you have when going through cancer treatment, the better outcomes.
Absolutely. So what we offer and what we tell everybody is that our programs are evidence-based. So there's research behind what we offer that we know help people deal with the side effects of chemotherapy, of radiation, of surgery. And we also know that the outcomes are better. People handle their chemotherapy, their treatment better when you're in a, you know, when you have support and when you're in a better mental state.
Absolutely. Can you identify early trends? I mean, are you seeing more women than men? Are you seeing more breast cancer versus prostate cancer, et cetera, lung cancer?
Yes. Yeah, so we've been open 5 months.
Yeah.
So we've been starting to collect some data, and we do see mostly women come in.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying and to outreach to men. It's, you know, I think sometimes that's a little bit of a harder group to come in for support services. But we see, I mean, I would say right now it's the majority are women. And we have all different types of diagnoses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All different types of diagnoses. And it's important to note, too, that we not only care for the person living with cancer, but we offer all of our services to families, to children, because cancer has a ripple effect throughout the family. So it's very important that we care for the loved ones as well as the people living with cancer.
What are some of the things that are presenting from, let's say, a spouse of a cancer patient right now?
Well, what we see is, you know, you try to be strong for each other, right? You know, when you're going through a difficult situation, you want to be strong for each other. But each person needs a place, a safe space to be able to talk about their fears, about their anxieties. And what we're doing is building a community of people who understand what other people are going through. So, you know, we offer a support group for advanced cancer, for people with metastatic disease. And we also offer a caregiver support group at the same time. So we were very mindful when we renovated our space and when we developed our programs to ensure that we can offer multiple programs at once. So we can, you know, the couple can come in together and, you know, one person can receive counseling for their cancer and their partner can receive support for what they might be going through as well.
It occurs to me too that, especially for that spouse or loved one of the patient, there's different milestones of the journey. Mm-hmm. Much like, you know, if somebody were to perish in a plane crash, there's that shock. There is a shock when you get a diagnosis, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I go back to, if anybody's familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and she's a author on death and dying, but she talks about the five stages of grief. And even when somebody's diagnosed with cancer and they're going to go through treatment and be cured, they still go through those stages, you know, and it can be denial and anger and depression and shock, like you said, Joel. So, you know, we try to offer programs that can help somebody along wherever they are on their cancer journey, whether they're in treatment. We see a lot of people after treatment.
Oh, wow.
Because it's after treatment where it sort of hits them smack in the face what they've been through. And, you know, there's the fears of recurrence. Is this going to come back? How am I going to know? So we deal a lot with those types of anxieties as well.
Talk about you're a nurse. You understand that hormonally there's things that are happening too. Do you have to dive into, or at least or maybe make suggestions or referrals for whether it's anti-anxiety drugs or some kind of hormone therapy that would help people along.
You know what, my background is medical, it is nursing, but we're very careful about offering any sort of medical advice. You know, the people that come to us have excellent care teams at the local cancer institute. So, you know, we might suggest that they, you know, talk to their physician about what they're going through. And of course, as a nurse, you know, I might guide them along the way. But I also have really great relationships with the oncology teams at the local hospitals. So it's sometimes I'll just pick up the phone and
Good
give them
you.
A call or shoot them an email. And, you know, but we really encourage our participants to take their medical concerns back to their care team.
Well, and you know this, that not every MD is going to be a great communicator. I mean, they might be a wizard in medicine, but you're dealing with the non-tangibles. I mean, and we're not indicting anybody, but you could be a facilitator with this thing.
No, we absolutely are. And where, you know, I think we are really an extension of the great care that the treatment centers give. So, you know, I like to say that we close the circle on cancer care.
Wow.
Because it really does affect, you know, not just the physical, but the mental and emotional. And, you know, most oncologists, I have to say, are different from other types of doctors because they're dealing with mortality. You know, so the oncologists that I have dealt with, you know, are pretty good with being able to sit down and talk to a patient about difficult conversations.
They've got their bedside manner down pretty good. Huh?
Most of them, yeah.
Well, that's it's good. You know, Kristen, when you're trying to get this story out about the good work of the Erie Cancer Wellness Center, what rises to the top for you?
She's a whiz with social media, I'll say that.
I'm learning as we go. I'm getting back into this world as we figure out how to fine-tune everything at the center. I don't know if I have a great answer to that question.
Well, I mean, there's obviously something that really stirs the passion in your team. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's probably coming back time and time again. This is the felt need that our folks are dealing with, right? And that's what you want to communicate to the public. That's why you're here on the radio, right? I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, we have, there's three of us. Kim is our program director. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're a small but mighty team. And with cancer, we see all different ages. You know, so Kristen and I meet frequently and, you know, we have to think about, all right, how can we reach people who are in their 20s or 30s, but that at the same point reach people who are in their 70s. So, you know, Kristen does a phenomenal job with social media. That's how we get almost a third of our referrals.
Wow.
Is through social media and the newsletters that we send out. Kristen does an amazing job with updating the website, which is no small task. So, you know, we try to look at every avenue of how to best reach people.
And really trying to keep, like, focus on why the programs and classes and especially support groups that we're offering are important and what they can do for you is something I try to focus on when I'm blasting everything on social media and mm-hmm. especially our newsletters, because then people can better understand why that might benefit them to attend, because it's easy to just put our schedule online, but
right.
everyone, especially with everything they're dealing with at the same time, they might not know what they should even be considering.
Yeah. We're talking to our friends from the Erie Cancer Wellness Center. And Sarah, I want to ask you about some of your unique approaches to therapy, including one that's coming up here in a couple Thursdays. Well, actually, it was a couple Thursdays ago, this adult art therapy that you had a couple weeks ago. And tell me about stuff like that, where, you know, it's kind of unique, kind of artsy. And what's the impact of something like that?
So art therapy, we actually offer that every week. And then we also offer it once a month for children. So I'm a huge fan of art therapy. The science behind it is amazing. And you see art therapy a lot in larger cities where there's children's hospitals. But what art therapy is it's really not so much about the art, but it's a form of expression. So an art therapist is certified in using art as a way to counsel people. So it's really using art as a form of expression. So say for children who might have a parent or a grandparent with cancer, we see a lot of young people with cancer who have small children. You know, they don't know how to express their fear, their anger, their anxiety. But through art therapist or art therapy, the therapist can use art as a way to get the kids to talk about what they're going through without really even realizing they're talking about it. Because they're coloring it. And she's got all different ways. And everything's very thoughtful. So, she doesn't just have somebody draw a picture. She gives prompts that will then go into discussion possibly about what they're going through or the feelings that they have. So it's very impactful. And we've seen it with people who are also dealing with advanced cancers and, you know, thinking about death or dying. And it's a way also to express emotions in that regard too. It's a very powerful form of counseling. Again, I'm a big fan of it. And so we want to really explore the creative arts and the art therapy. So not only art therapy, but we hope to have music therapy as well.
And what would that look like?
So music therapy is, we actually have a music therapist here in town, Craig Stevens. Mm. He runs the program at Mercyhurst and has his own practice. But again, it's using music as a way to work out your emotions. You know, some people that have that creative side to them find it extremely beneficial.
Wow.
It's really incredible. And we hope to build a very robust creative therapy program at the Erie Cancer Wellness Center.
So you're basically saying, yes, we're going to do talk therapy in groups and maybe even one-on-one, but there's all these other options that we can, have. What about animal support animals? Does that come to play here?
Yeah, I'll let Kristen talk about that. But we have had therapy dogs in, which are always a huge hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we the first time we had them around was our holiday Beautiful You party, where we had several vendors come in and treat the participants to either a manicure or hair services or new wigs or anything. But we had about 10 therapy dogs in attendance I can't think of their name right now, but there was a lot of them there. And it's just something that, I mean, you see a fluffy dog walk in, especially because they're certified, they're well-behaved, and they're there to
unconditional love.
Yeah. They're there to let everybody just love on them. And so we have another Beautiful You event coming up for our spring fling on April 19th, and we're going to have them attend again if they would like to do so. And we also have one of our volunteers has her cockapoo come in, Boulder, and he actually came with her last week and just visited and hung out while people came in for an evening class, which was, she was there covering us for us. So they come in and just, you know, not everybody's a dog person, but, you know, right, we make sure everybody's comfortable with that. But they come in and just makes your day a little bit better when you walk in and see a smiling dog.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And the studies show that pet therapy can, you know, decrease stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's what we're, you know, those are the end results that we're trying to do, is
exactly
allow people to be able to navigate. Talk about this Beautiful You, Kristen. What is that event all about?
That was not an expansion on, but just kind of centered around a previous idea that I think a former program had, but just a way for, and this was very close to our opening too, so it was a huge hit for just the brand new space. Everyone, the vendors that all came were all volunteer, all donated their time to come in and just treat everyone to, again, the manicures. We have makeup services, brow services. We have a freelance makeup artist, Amanda Rumble, that gave a brow class on how to draw on brows and apply false lashes for whenever you're losing your hair. So we're going to have that at our spring fling. And then the beauty bar attended the holiday party and did the hair and makeup and nail services and everything. And it was just a little bit of a makeover for the evening so they could walk out feeling great about themselves, however that looked to them. We also have scarves that we have had donated to the center, and they, not everybody wants to wear a wig. So we have scarves available, and we actually had a participant there that usually wears scarves, and she was showing other participants how to tie them and wear them and everything. We had, what else do we have?
I didn't realize that when you have chemo, not only does your hair from your head come, but you lose your eyebrows.
Absolutely.
And your...
So, you know, chemotherapy, of course, everybody thinks of chemo as, you know, you most chemotherapies cause loss of hair. Not all, but most do. But it's not just the hair. It's the eyelashes. It's the eyebrows. It's all hair. In addition to that, it can change your skin. It can affect your fingernails. You know, it affects everything. So, you know, we wanted to give a chance for women to come and and just learn about skincare, learn about how to put on makeup, you know, after you lose your hair and things like that.
How do the men usually cope with something like that?
You know, the men, it's not as traumatic for them to lose their hair. For most men, you know, they'll throw on a ball cap and go on.
Know,
I think for women, it can be more difficult. You know, women were... Most women, you know, are used to, you know, putting on the makeup and you know, styling their hair. And so that can be a big loss.
I feel like this is a place of kindness.
We hope
on to that thought because we have to go to our break. But it is like kindness central. Ladies, I want to kind of jump in on some of these kind of pillars of what you do. Let's start with wellness and movement. Talk about that, Sarah. What are some of the options that you offer there?
So again, I had mentioned earlier, but the programs we offer are evidence-based. So we offer programs such as gentle yoga and Qigong, which is similar to Tai Chi. But we know that the more active you are when you're receiving treatment, we know that the better you're going to handle that treatment. So we encourage people to gently move their bodies during treatment and after. And we also know that when you're done with treatment, you have a decreased chance for recurrence the more active you are. So, you know, we offer programs to help keep your strength up, to help keep your flexibility up. We know that Qigong helps with balance issues, which is one of the biggest side effects from chemotherapy.
Wow.
So, you know, again, we're very mindful about what we offer to help combat the side effects both during and after treatment.
So is a recommendation while somebody's in treatment to come like once a week to a class or something like that?
They can come as often as they can.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going through treatment, it's difficult because, you know, you're going through treatment, you have your doctor's appointments, but we offer different movement programs at least 3 times a week. So
Oh, wow.
We have some people that come 3 times a week, some people that come once a week. So whenever they, you know, we encourage whenever you can come.
Beautiful. Let's go to special series and programs. You know, I mean, you have like we've been saying, the shock of the original diagnosis, and then it settles in and you're working on, you know, your plans. How can you bring some extra support at the Cancer Wellness Center?
So, you know, with the special programs, you know, that's something that we offer. Like we were just talking about the Beautiful You event. Mm-hmm. We offer those quarterly. So, you know, those are just more fun events, but we try to incorporate education with those events as well. You know, that those are going to be different. We don't offer those weekly, mm-hmm. but they might be more of a community-based where you can bring guests in and, you know, have some fun and educate yourself in the process.
What do you think is the number one thing that people don't understand about a cancer diagnosis?
That's a good question. I would say that, well, there's a couple answers for that. One, that it really does affect you in every way. You know, I had mentioned that earlier. You know, we treat mind, body, spirit because it affects you on all of those levels. And the other thing that I always talk about is when you're done with cancer treatment does not mean you're done with cancer. Cancer always tends to live within you. You know, it's that fear of, you know, you had cancer. How am I going to know if it's going to come back? Will it come back? You know, some people deal with the side effects for weeks, months, and even years after cancer treatment. So it's always with somebody. And that's very important to remember.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to go through chemo. You could have a mild cancer, but have the lingering effects of radiation or what have you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there's different treatments for different types of cancers. You know, we're lucky now because we don't just have chemotherapy and radiation and surgery, but we have immunotherapy and targeted therapies, you know, based on the genetics that we know so much more about now. But again, all of those, you know, it's helping people live longer, but sometimes with side effects.
Right. Right. Let's talk about support groups. We've mentioned these before, but again, you say in your website, when diagnosed with cancer, you may experience shock, anger, sadness, and fear, and even your closest family members will likely not understand how you feel. Do you get that a lot, where they're not hearing me, or they don't understand, or is it more of like, I don't even know how to articulate how I feel?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think people that have support, you know, are so blessed and lucky to have that support. But to talk to somebody who's going through the same thing is very different. You know, and I know as a nurse, you know, I used to say it's one thing for doctors and nurses to tell you what the side effects are. But until there's just something very beneficial about talking to somebody else who says, I know exactly what you mean, you know, and unless you've been through that, you don't know. You can try your best to be empathetic, but you just don't know what it's like. And so for groups to get together and to hear each other in a safe space where they know that's not going to go beyond our walls, really helps people through that process.
Have you had to develop some support groups for quite young people? Talk about the age and the generational impact.
So we tried at first to just come up with general support groups and see where that leads us.
Based on the diagnoses, meaning like breast cancer support group, prostate cancer, and so on?
So we have both. So we have disease-specific support groups. So we have our breast cancer support group for women over 45, because we're very lucky in Erie where we have Linked by Pink, which is another nonprofit that we've opened up our space to, and that's for women with breast cancer who are 45 and younger. Okay. But we've also, our support groups right now are a little bit more general. Like, we have the advanced cancer support group, we have the survivorship support group, because we are only 5 months in. And so, you know, at some point we hope to develop more disease specific support groups as we grow.
Do you anticipate, and your knowledge of people with cancer in this town, do you anticipate needing a teen cancer support group, for example? I mean, is there that much cancer?
You know,
in
we
teenagers?
Don't treat children's cancer in Erie. So
we do not.
We do not. So we send any child with cancer, we will send to Pittsburgh or Cleveland or Buffalo, mostly Pittsburgh. But there are young adults with cancer. So, you know, that's something that we haven't started yet, but we talk about it. You know,
there's enough of a census, if you will, that could precipitate that.
It could. And again, we, quite honestly, Joel, there's so much we could offer that, you know, to limit it.
That's what's kind of blowing my mind right now, Sarah.
There's so much to offer that to limit it to what the three of us can do with some wonderful volunteers. You know, we really have to keep it manageable at this point because the needs are immense.
Okay. We're going to take a breath here. It is. It is remarkable, and you can really let your mind go of, like, because there is a lot of cancer in Erie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sad state of affairs.
There is, and we treat a large geographic area as well, you know, and that's something to consider too.
Let's talk about healing arts, and we kind of talked a bit about the, you know, art therapy and so on, but what else do you see this including?
Yeah, so the healing arts, that's a general term, but you know, in the healing arts, again, we have the, you know, art therapy, we want to grow to music therapy. But then we also, I'm going to kind of lump this together with some of our individualized programs. We offer oncology massage or massage for cancer people. Our massage therapist is trained in cancer care. So we have two massage therapists, which are incredible. You know, people come out of there relaxed, renewed. It gives them 30 minutes of, I mean, it's very common. We've had people walk out of there in tears just because it's 30 minutes where they don't have to worry about their cancer. We offer Reiki, which has been a very relaxing experience as well. Our healing arts program also include just fun things too. So like tonight, actually, at the center, Kim is back at the center. One of our participants is a florist. So she's doing a fun program on just putting together a spring basket. So we try to do fun things as well that inspire community and friendship. But maybe they're not talking about their cancer, but they're with other people who know what they're going through. So they have a lot of fun and a lot of laughs.
The knitting circle or the second session of that will be this Tuesday. That's going to be the every first Tuesday of the month, facilitated by a couple of people close to the center. And that was a huge hit right off the bat. I think there was eight people there. And then we actually expanded off that, and now every third Tuesday we'll just have like a more informal knitting circle. You don't have to have any skills or be advanced to do that, but it's just another camaraderie thing. You're literally sitting in a circle, just, you know, working with your fingers, doing something to just talk and
take again, your mind off the research shows that knitting actually helps decrease anxiety. So, you know, we do try to offer fun things, but, you know, we always have that in the back of our mind.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always looking for that, those hormones, the dopamine to hit to help things. Nutrition and education. I would imagine there's a lot of folks that don't understand how they can eat better and just know more about their cancer.
Yes. So our nutrition and education, you know, we want to create programs for everyone. So maybe somebody doesn't want to go to a yoga class, or maybe they don't want a support group, but they want education. They want to learn. So we offer professionals that from our community who are experts come in and give talks on different topics that might be of interest to somebody living with cancer. So Karen Schneckel from AHN Oncology Institute has come in a couple times and talked about nutrition during cancer, or, you know, what to eat post-cancer for health, or how to deal with some of the side effects from chemotherapy through nutrition. So we get a lot of questions on nutrition. My background, again, is in survivorship, and that was probably the number one topic that people wanted to talk about was, you know, how should I eat? You know, is what I eat related to my cancer, or how can I be healthy? So, but then we also have just educational sessions. So we're trying to get some of the docs to come in and talk about clinical trials or genetics, or we had a physical therapist come in and talk about strength and maintaining your strength. So we try to offer a little bit of education topics as well.
Well, even in the realm of breast cancer, for example, there's the different hormones and markers that indicate.
Absolutely.
It's so hard to understand all the different things.
You know, people think breast cancer is breast cancer. Actually, there are multiple types of breast cancer, you know, and that's something to keep in mind, because if somebody came in yesterday and said, well, somebody else said their treatment was different than mine. And I said, absolutely, because to your point, Joel, you know, there's different receptors and hormones and proteins that you have to take in account for. So each person's diagnosis is different. So their treatment may be different and their needs are different.
Sorry. Do you notice a lot of lung cancer in Erie County?
We see a lot of lung cancer.
I mean, we have a higher than average incidence of smoking here. In
I believe the smoking rates are going down, though,
they
which
are.
Is a great thing. So hopefully our lung cancer will go down, incidence will go down as well. But we do see a lot of lung cancer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we also see lung cancer in people that have never smoked a day in their life. Really? So that's where genetics come in, and you know, mutations in people's genes that we're finding more and more about, which also leads us to help treat them better.
We're down to our last 5 minutes with Sarah and Kristen from the Erie Cancer Wellness Center. A couple more things here. Wigs and Beauty, the Erie Cancer Wellness Center offers numerous wigs and other beauty accessories to help patients maintain their outward self during their treatment journey. This is a big deal.
Huge deal.
Because wigs are expensive.
Wigs are expensive. I think the average cost of a wig is like $200.
Yeah.
And that was one of the very first things that we wanted to do, was open a beautiful space where people could come in and feel feel welcome and feel comfortable. We've given away how many wigs, Kristen?
As of today, it is 88.
88 wigs.
Wow.
And we have an actual salon. So, you know, we have a place where people can come and try on wigs. We have a stylist that will style the wigs. And again, everything is at no cost.
That's amazing. And finally, you have a booklet on your website that can explain all kind of the catalog, if you will, of what you do there. So people should download that to find out more about it.
It is downloadable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've made sure of that.
I'm looking at it right now. And I mean, these are important. And you do have a children's support group there.
We do. Yes, we do. We run it quarterly. One of the social workers at the local cancer institute runs that for us.
Yeah, and an ostomy support group too. I mean, there's so many different things when it comes to our health. And I would imagine that parents of children with cancer, that's got to be a very difficult road for them.
Sure. So our support group for children is geared for children who have a parent or grandparent with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we, you know, kids don't miss a beat. You know, they pick up everything.
Right.
So they need a space to vent their fears and anxieties as well.
Absolutely. All right. Let's wrap it in a bow here. If folks want to find out more, the website itself is eriecancerwellness.org, and really downloading that booklet is a great place to start, isn't it, Kristen?
Yeah, and we, as soon as new potential participants walk in the door, that's what they're handed, because that has everything. That even needs a little bit more, a couple more additions now, but I'll get those on for April.
Yeah.
And they can go on the website. That's right on the home screen, and that will have everything. I mean, descriptions are on there for a reason, so they can know what they're getting into. And then we have whether registration is required, if it's in person, virtual, and everything that they need to know to attend those.
Would you suggest that as soon as someone gets that, hey, we saw something on your screenings, I mean, are you one of the first places to call?
I would like to think so, but you know, it's important, and I tell everybody, we are there whenever you need us. So for some people, it's during treatment. For some people, it's after treatment. Wherever you are along your cancer journey, you know, I had somebody come in who was treated 5 years ago, but they're still dealing with the stress of that. So wherever they are on their cancer journey, we are here for them.
Beautiful. Again, the Erie Cancer Wellness Center, really remarkable work that the folks are doing here. We want to thank Sarah Humphrey, the executive director, Kristen Hubert, the office communications and marketing coordinator, the social media whiz. Thank you guys so much, and we wish you well. I mean, 5 months, it sounds like you've accomplished a lot.
We're getting there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like to think so. We like to think so. So thanks for having us,
Joel. A place of kindness. A place
it
of
is.
Kindness.
That's what we're being.
Yes.
Our participants.
Kindness,
that's
compassion.
What they, you know, camaraderie.
Yeah.
Smiles.
Beautiful.
Peace.
Sometimes not. Depends.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. But again, you can show the kindness. People have to be ready to receive it. And, it takes some people a little bit longer to get past what's happening with themselves, right?
Well,
that's
where they are.
Yeah,
you have some patient folks here for sure.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.